This is the Old Trailblazer Broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis coming to you once again from our studios here, bringing you a study, a series of studies now on the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And we're getting on down. We're coming there talking about Rahab. Don't you like those stories in the Bible? I've been reading and studying in Joshua there about the deliverances. I brought a message the other night on the deliverances of God, how that the Lord delivered those folks from oppression of Pharaoh, delivered them from the Red Sea and the Jordan River, and delivered them from all of those things. And then they began to take those cities in Canaan land, how he delivered them from those as long as they obeyed. Did you notice in there, if you read it, he said he'd send the hornets before them. You know, a city infested with hornets, they couldn't stay, could they? But we'll get into that in another study. And we're looking at that study on Rahab, how that he gave up her harlotry. Oh, my friend, listen. When the Lord gets a hold of a sinner, his past life is gone. That's gone. That's gone. And that's what we do here. We give out God's message, praying that the grace of God will take over in your life. And I don't know right at this time where you'd go to find another old-time ministry like we have here. I know they're out there. I know that. Folks say I believe I'm the only one preaching the truth. Well, I'm the only one I know about. The Lord has given us grace here. But listen, we're going to look now at the working of God's power in delivering Rahab. You have your Bibles there. You and I do, with commentaries and all of those things. But you've got the whole canon of the Scriptures. And the only thing that this poor woman had was just secondhand messages from travelers coming to and fro through Jericho, what they saw in the camps of the Israelites in their travels. And then probably they'd say, I don't know, that bunch of devils over there, they're just as rebellious as they can be. And Moses had to put a lot of them to death. Probably there, they came there and found out, they saw and put an old, listen, who was that old feller? 250 of these princes went down there in Dothan. That was Korah. They saw that. But what made an impression on them? That's what made an impression. The Lord, how the Lord, my goodness, what a God they have, they said. They told Rahab this, what a God of wrath they have. Yes, he's not only a God of mercy, my friend, but he's a God of wrath. The Scripture says he's angry with the wicked every day. And probably they heard Moses preaching that on that book of Deuteronomy there, restating of the law where it says he'll have mercy on whom he'll have mercy, and he'll have compassion on whom he'll have compassion. He'll harden whom he hardeneth, and whom he will. That's Exodus 33:19 and Romans 9:15. Now, that's where Rahab learned what she knew of the Lord. We don't have to try and dispute everything. The Bible says the Lord works in mysterious ways. I look back upon this ministry here, how the Lord has preserved us. Pastor Shelton began broadcasting shortly after the Lord saved him. I believe his first broadcast was in 1943, before many of you were ever born. And the Lord has kept us, his hand upon us all of those days. And when I became acquainted with him early in the early 50s, I know the struggles and the trials that he went through, the opposition from the organized religion and all those things, denominational headquarters withdrawing fellowship from him. And I know all those things. But the Lord kept us. The Lord kept him. And I tell my folks here, I said, y'all just don't know the heartaches and the trials that this ministry went through with. One of the workers there that was there for many, many years, who was a great friend of mine, told me one day the pastor gave him a 10-cent dime, one dime, and told him to go down to the corner store and buy a dime's worth of pigtails so that he'd come back and Miss Shelton could make a pigtail soup. Now, my friend, this is the truth. I'm telling you the truth. This is one of the hardship, plus the opposition. The opposition, one time, pastor went to a certain city to hold a meeting in the wintertime. It was a tent. He had a tent there, and they had natural gas there under the tent for the heaters, and the city owned the natural gas, and Pastor Shelton was preaching, and the Lord was moving, and some of the influential people there in the other churches got together, and they had the town to cut the gas off. Had the town to cut the gas off where they couldn't get no gas heat. Well, they managed somehow. They got the propane heaters and all those things. But, my friend, I'm just mentioning the opposition. Rahab probably faced much opposition. Well, she shut down her business there, the adultery business that she had been involved in. She shut that down, closed the door, put up a sign, closed. You know she got opposition from some of her maybe longtime customers, so to speak. But my friend, the Lord brought her through it. The Lord brought her through it. Now, Rahab said, wait a minute. If that's the God of the Israelites, if that's the true God of the universe, then I'm at his disposal. She had heard those things, my friend. He's sovereign. Oh, she believed that. Many of you out there won't believe. I have folks call me and write me and say, don't get off on that sovereignty of God business. No, don't get off on that stuff. Listen, but my friend, the Lord is sovereign. Do you know what that means? Do you have any idea what that means? He does as he pleases. Does as he pleases, my friend. Oh, the Lord is so gracious. He does as he pleases. Did you know the Lord doesn't have to save you? You say, well, I'm not saved. The Lord don't have to save you. The Lord don't have to touch you. The Lord don't have to open your heart. The Lord doesn't have to move your heart to turn to the Lord. He just go leave. All you have to do to be lost is to, Lord, leave you alone. You out there fiddling with sin, living on the thin ice of a little religious profession. The Lord leave you there, my friend. You just go out into eternity lost. Satan doesn't want me to say you're going to hell, but that's where you're going. Oh, my friend. And then we have the skeptics. A man was telling my son the other day, he was offered him some booklets, and he said, well, I don't want to hear nothing about that all once saved, always saved stuff. And my son told him, said, well, that's what we believe. That's what the Bible teaches. He said, well, I don't want none of your booklets. I don't want none of your tracts if that's what y'all preach. Well, we preach and teach God's word as it is to men as they are. And we don't try to, no, he took the booklets back and said, okay, thank you, sir. And he went on down the road. But my friend, that's what we got out there. That's what we have out there. And then we have one of the things I often say here, that we refute error. We do. We refute error on a daily basis. One of the errors that we have is this prosperity ministry. If you have elderly loved ones who listen to TV preachers, tell them don't get hooked up in that prosperity stuff. They'll tell you to send them $10,000 and the Lord will send you $20,000. That's about as far from the truth as you can reach, my friend. But that's what's out there. That's exactly what's out there. And there's so much error there. All of this so-called speaking in tongues and divine healing, all of those things, there's so much claptrap there, my friend. They've gotten away from the gospel. They've gotten away from God's word. And I know I get criticized for it. I know that. And my friend, I'm just bringing you God's word. He says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. He says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. You know, we have folks that do not believe that they're going to die. Then we have another generation on the scene that says, well, when you die, you're just like a dog on the side of the road. You just know there's no hereafter. But my friend, there is a hereafter. And the Lord is in charge of all that. We'll get back in our study. But listen, I just wanted to tell you that our Lord is a God of wrath as well as a God of mercy. You've got nothing unless you come to Christ, cling to Christ. You have no promise in the world that you'll ever be saved if you won't have Christ. You're dealing with a God of judgment, a God of wrath, as well as a God of love and a God of mercy, a God of sovereignty. He's sovereign, my friend. I had a Baptist preacher call me one time here a while back. He had just moved into this local area, and he called me and wanted to have fellowship with us. He didn't know me, and I didn't know him. And we talked a little while. I told him a little of the background of our ministry here, how the Lord was blessing us, and mentioned a couple of things. And he said, well, you must be a Calvinist. You must be that sovereign preacher. I said, no, we preach God's word. And do you know that man hung up on me? He wouldn't even say, well, brother, I feel you're wrong or whatever. He just hung up. And I never have heard from him since. But listen. Sovereign grace rests in the hand of a sovereign God. Well, I don't believe in a God like that. Well, I'll say that you just have to take it up with the Lord. Listen. I found that out. The Lord has backed individuals in the corner and said, you listen, I'm a God of wrath as well as a God of love. I'll have mercy on you if I will, and I'll have compassion on you if I will. I'll harden your heart if I will. Go there and read Romans 9:15. Through 21. Do you believe the Bible at all? I tell my folks here, A lot of our folks are not saved. You say, oh, Pastor, you have folks that are not saved in your congregation. Yes, sir. They won't trust the Lord. They won't believe. They don't believe God's word. They don't believe. I've heard an evangelist come into the community, and he'll first night of service, you know, he'll say, now, I don't want to disturb nobody, and I know y'all all saved, so we're not going to talk about that. We're just going to talk about the love of God. You know what I do when I go somewhere to preach? I say, well, far as I know, you're all lost. Far as I know, you're all lost. I don't know. That's not my business. But I'm going to preach to you like you're all lost, because there may be one individual here that's lost, and he needs to hear the gospel. He may have never heard the gospel before, and he needs to hear the gospel. Oh, my friend. But listen, your souls. Did you know something? Did you know your souls are in my hand? Listen, it'll scare you to death, won't it? Instead of making me mad, first I thought, well, is that the God of the Bible? I found that to be the God of the Bible. If that's the God of the Bible, I'd better kiss the Son, lest he be angry, according to Psalms 21:12. I'd rather kiss the Son, lest he be angry. But listen. I often tell my congregation here that I'm standing between the living and the dead. I do, my friend. Did you know it's a fine line between being saved and lost? Are you saved? Are you saved? Or did you just make a decision for Jesus? And we say, well, isn't that salvation? No, sir. That doesn't even smell like salvation. Salvation is coming to the end of your way, seeing yourself with no hope, no mercy, seeing yourself as the prodigal son saw himself. The Bible says he came to himself. What does that mean? You know what that means? You know the old trailblazer is just old simpleton. Folks call me simpleton. I am. I'm simpleton. One man writes me and he said, you know, I'm surprised at how ignorant you are. Well, I'm not surprised. I'm ignorant. I don't profess to be smart, but I know one thing. I know how the Lord saves a sinner, and he will never come to Christ until he sees himself in need. He won't go to the doctor until he feels bad. He won't come to Christ until there's a reason to come. Did you know 95% plus of our nation are satisfied where they are? They may go to church on Sunday. Yeah, maybe sing in the choir, maybe on the Amen corner. But my friend, are they saved? I tell you, we have this little book here by Pastor Shelton, The Reality of Christ, and I'll be glad to send it to you, postpaid, if you'd write me. Just write me and say, Pastor, send me that little book on the reality of Christ, and I'll send it to you along with that other one, Playing Church. Oh, we have so many folks playing church today. You know, it's the average person in the community. He wants to be respectable, and he wants to go to church on Sunday. And I'll tell you about a friend of mine who's gone on to now, and I'll tell you about him in another message. But he was a big man in the community, and he sung in the choir, but he was the most terrible man I ever met, and beat his people out of their money and all of those things. But he was sung in the choir, and the preacher said he's gone on to be with the Lord. Well, that's between him and the Lord. But this is the Old Trailblazer, Pastor Albert Pendarvis. I'm bringing you God's message day by day. Remember my mailing address, the Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. And my website, radiomissions.org. Go there and you'll see much more information about the broadcast here at Radio Mission. Goodbye and God bless you.